Speaking of the show, never miss an episode by subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at our website, cinemapsychoshow.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Psycho Show.
Lane, we'll go from here. Ready?
Hold on one second.
Oh, hold on one. What?
I just was thinking. I need to think about what they were saying.
I can't remember after poop my pants, but Lane, there's dead air right now.
There is so much dead air, Lane.
I think we should start again. Let's start again.
No, not again.
Too late. Too late.
Fine.
Do it now. Fuck it. Are you guys going to do it again?
I scared you. I think you pooped your pants.
Well, no, we can't because
we don't have that
I was
going to
go for Michael Myers. Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Oh, goody, goody. Here it comes.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show.
You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
Oh, my God. Don't stop now.
With your hosts, Ryan, John, and Elaine.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show, the madhouse for film freaks and film fans of all types. I'm your host, Brian Coddington, joined by fellow co-hosts and filmmakers, John and Lane Woolscroft.
Look, it's Michael Myers. I think he might hurt us. Let's run around, jumping up and down like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, you were so good. That was so good.
Oh, I tried so hard.
No, that was good. That was good. So,
Jamie Lee, where's her bra? I don't know. Jamie Lee, where's her bra? I don't know. Headlights. There we go.
That's a clap right there. I think that's a clap.
I think it's actually even better because we fucked it up.
Oh my God. It's all the better for being
so
ruined.
Our audience is not going to know that we spent about 5 minutes
looking it up online.
They wouldn't have if you kept your trap shut. I have to tell them. I'm honest with our audience.
You don't have to tell them shit.
Well, yes.
You know anything.
The first part is boo. I scared you. I think you poofed your pants. And then we stalled. There's something where we do a funky dance. Yeah. So I don't know what that section is.
I don't know what it is. And there's nothing on the internet about it.
Lane and I will watch it our Halloween celebration this year, and we're going to be like, God damn it, that's what they said.
Well, we watch it on a DVD like old people.
Instead
of streaming it.
You're not cool like that. You're still down with the regular hard-coded media.
Well, how would we stream it? Were we going to get Peacock? I don't want to get fucking Peacock.
It's literally like a compilation DVD of the Halloween skits.
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It makes me real happy.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting Ghost.
Wow, all this comedic stuff must mean we're talking about comedic horror.
Maybe.
On episode 195.
Yeah. You know?
Welcome to another one of our unbelievably popular Halloween themed episodes. These seem to do very well, which I am happy about.
Everybody loves Halloween.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
We talk about Dracula movies, vampire movies.
I think it's more or less people love these top five episodes because before we've done a couple top five ones. And this is kind of in that same vein, you know?
Yeah. It's fun because either you agree and you're like, yes, or you're, oh my God, they're completely stupid, you know? Either way, you have fun.
My list is way better.
I haven't seen anyone call us out on our list yet and say that we're completely stupid. So, I mean, the only thing I see is they listen all the way through the episode. So, I mean, I take that as a win, you know,
hey,
that's great. But yeah. So this week we're going to be kind of keeping with our Halloween vein. We're going to be talking about our top five favorite comedic horror films,
and I'm really excited for this because I find that the humor can be really dark in comedic horror films, and that's all I give a shit about.
Lane, this was your episode pick, right?
I know. I mean,
this is Lane's episode pick.
We kind of had a list, what do we have left? It's either science fiction horror, there's comedy horror, there's haunted house horror. Seems pretty interesting to break it down by comedy horror because, oddly, I think people see them as polar opposites, but I see them, they marry very well. Because how many times does somebody yell boo, and after, you know, assuming you're not the kind of person that really gets pissed off at that, your first reaction after you're jumping and screaming real loud is to laugh.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
true.
They're
both really strong emotions, and surprisingly intense emotions are much closer to each other on the scale of our emotions. So that's why sometimes you laugh until you cry, because you're actually much closer to crying when you're laughing really hard than you are at any other time.
I also just think that comedic horror is probably the hardest genre to get right.
Like, yeah.
Because comedy is very subjective, like extremely subjective. So
I would say horror is too, you know.
Well, that's my point. It's just like, you've got comedy that already is subjective, and then, you know, some people aren't scared of certain things in horror movies. So, you know, you mix the two of those, it's really hard to get it right. So, like, the picks that I think we all kind of found today are ones that we are like, yeah, these are ones that absolutely get the recipe right.
Well, I think that there's two types of films, you know, that we need to understand the separation of, and that's horror movies with comedic elements and comedic movies with horror elements.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, and I think they can be, you know, very different or the same. Like, I don't know, some people would disqualify something as compared to another. And it's something I want to get your guys' opinion on. Something for my list, and, you know, it's list to list. I kind of disqualified satire.
Yeah.
Movies.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, like Young Frankenstein, scary movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
those movies are just 100% comedy. Now, they are, they're hitting on something from the horror genre, but they're not, there's nothing horror-based other than, like, Young Frankenstein having Frankenstein in it, or, you know, Ghostface Killer being in Scary Movie. Not that Scary Movie would have made my top five anyways, because I'll tell you, when I was 14, that movie was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Me too.
Even by 16, I was like, how juvenile.
And now it's unwatchable. Now
you can't watch it.
Because truly,
I can still watch the first one if I'm, like, drunk. The second one, no.
No, the second one, you can't do it. Yeah. I think
that's the one
all...
where they ripped off The Haunting, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and they were all, like, on Netflix, I think, recently, and I got through the first one, and then I tried watching the second one. I think I was, like, 10 minutes in, and I was like, oh, that's a big nope, and I turned it off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I picked ones, honestly, that I felt had kind of, like, a 50-50 ratio, honestly.
Gotcha.
Like, ones that I was like, okay, they're like, I honestly, I'll be the first to say this here. Okay, so I did not include Army of Darkness on my list.
Okay.
And
that was on a lot of lists that I saw.
That was on a lot of lists. And we are going to go through some of, because I posted on Facebook and I posted on Instagram, you know, just asking for other people's picks. So I do want to kind of mention people who did respond, you know
that's great.
That's nice thing, audience members, if you want to, when we post these sorts of things on Facebook and you give us some suggestions, I'll call them out.
I can mention something extremely flattering about you.
Yeah, yeah. John will sing sweet nothings into your ear.
I have the voice of an angel.
He does. or an angelic devil. One of the two.
Or cat's ears bleed when I sing. One of the two.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. But, you know, I was going to include Army of Darkness until I really thought about it. And I was like, wait a minute. Army of Darkness on the spectrum of Evil Dead movies falls more in the comedic realm than it does in the horror. And I don't know anyone who watches Army of Darkness and says, oh my God, that scared the shit out of me. And that's kind of why I was like, I can't include this. Because it's a comedy. Like, it's kind of falls in that same vein of almost parodying Evil Dead. So I couldn't include it. But that's I picked ones that were kind of 50-50 for the most part.
Okay.
You have to love a director that just parodies himself. Like, what kind of...
That's not to say I don't love Army of Darkness, by the way. I seriously do.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about comedic horror, I think you do have to draw the line. It can't just be satire. And I think it does have to have, you know, horror elements for the most part mixed in with the comedy.
I think that to qualify for me, it has to at least be scary. Like, your wimpiest friend would be scared of it, like, at some point. Like, there has to be at least one scene, even if it makes you laugh, like, your weeniest friend would be like, oh my God, you know? I think that's the... I think that's
do you have a lot of those weenie friends?
Well, sometimes, I mean, you know, as a lady, you know, sometimes like, you know, like you're I think it's more common for gal pals to not love horror movies. They're not really marketed to us. They're not really part of, you know, the package of things that is like, that are like handed to us.
Wait a minute, Lane. Are you telling me you're a lady?
I did not know this.
The whole months of quarantining and not recording in person, I've lost track of whether you're a lady or not.
I know.
I'm told that scary movies, my chick's horny. I took my girl to see Friday 13 Part 6. She got all scared, and then yeah, I was able to get a side clothes rub in the car. Backseat of my dad's Altima.
Wow.
Your dad. That's very...
We had Journey on the 8-track.
Okay. On the 8-track.
he warned us that his voice was what, that of an angel?
Yes. An angel in West Virginia.
Wow.
Okay, so, cool.
Comedy's place in horror, I feel it's satire, spoof, black comedy, camp and kitsch and gallows. Is that fair statement?
No, I think that's very
top five.
Fair. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Could I briefly discuss a bit of horror movie history since it's kind of like my boner tay, like something that just really
tickles
my pick. Yeah.
So it's his forte
that gives him a boner?
Is that what we're saying?
Okay.
I think that the first examples of comedy entering horror was kind of very much at the beginning of film in this country. Now, granted, you could go as late as the late 1800s, but that's like... Train arrives, you know. But after
man,
guy stands and waves, like, you know, you pay a nickel to see that, you know.
Wait a minute, you mean there's a train on the script? How do they do that? They got it inside the building.
Now hold on here, fella. But after World War One, you know, the idea that there was so much trauma after the war to end all wars.
Yeah,
lol.
They'll do it.
That a lot of films, they started implementing, you know, comedic elements into horror films because we needed a break from the idea of, you know, the horrors of a national world war. And, you know, a lot of the silent films, you'll sometimes see them played for laughs now and like even commercials where, you know, it's a silent movie, but the woman opens the door and there's a skeleton and she like has that giant, you know, silent film reaction and stuff. And one of the biggest examples is One Exciting Night in 1922. But many people lean towards Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein as kind of the first commercially successful comedy horror film. And kind of like that kind of made it a legitimate, you know.
I think those films especially, and you gotta kind of think about it. Like, I hate the movie Scream. Sorry, Lane. I do.
Okay.
This is well done.
I expected it.
But the, you know, Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. That's the one you're talking about. That kind of came at around at a point when there was an oversaturation point of the Universal monster movies. You know, like you had Frankenstein, Dracula, the Invisible Man, Wolfman all come out, you know, during the 30s for nearly a decade. So by the time you get to, this was what, 1940, early 40s? When Abbott Costello Meets Frankenstein?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so early 40s, so you've got nearly a decade worth of Universal monster movies. You know, Dracula came out in 1931. So, you know, at that point, you know, the audiences have been so familiar with those monsters that really it's kind of, it mimics almost the slasher era in the 80s and early 90s to the point where you get something that's self-referential like Scream that comes around that pokes fun and makes fun of a genre. So you have almost a mirroring, if you will, of those two time periods. You know, Abbott Costello Meets Frankenstein makes fun of Universal monster movies. Scream makes fun of slasher films.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel that it's much easier for comedy to venture into horror than vice versa. Not saying you can't do it right on both ends, but
yeah.
And I also feel there's some gatekeepers who are like, I don't want any humor in my horror movies. It's Exorcist or bust. You know, like,
well, I mean, we've already talked about this before. You know, one of the things that we mentioned that was a problem with Alien 3, you know, listen to our back catalog, is that just that, you know, it's such a downer of a movie that there's no joy. And those moments of levity are what kind of gives the audience a break. And there doesn't ever seem to be that in some horror movies that are literally just, I'm going to hit you nonstop for the next 90 minutes. Like, I love the movie High Tension. But truthfully, there are no moments of joy in that movie. It is 100% nonstop terror. Now, there's a time and place for it, yeah. But I also think that the movies that really stick to me are ones that have breaks in it. And there's a reason why people love Cabin in the Woods so much. It's
and
because
people love that movie.
And they do. And why is it, Lane? Because there's moments of levity, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I think that there is a lot of gatekeeping in the horror film community. And, like, if you haven't seen all the classics, you know, that can be tough. And like I said, I have a lot of friends who don't like scary movies. And I think that when they're funny, that adds enough levity that it kind of pulls you out of that spell that a horror film can kind of cast.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'm back to reality. I'm laughing with my friends for a minute. Okay, everything's cool. You know, I think that really helps. I mean, it may seem silly, but I think that that helps break up the tension where you remember yourself and you remember that, oh, okay, just kidding. Like, everything's fine, you know?
I think it's like anything. Like, you know, if you eat a four-course meal, you're not going to eat one giant plate full of all four courses, right? You know, there's always a palate cleanser somewhere.
Don't challenge me.
I mean, John, maybe that's
tonight.
How your Thanksgiving works, that you quite literally have.
I'm not getting up again.
A giant bowl full of your stuffing and your turkey and your cranberry sauce. And,
I just take
you know,
the whole
your pumpkin pie.
And I put the mashed potatoes and everything inside the turkey's body. And I just eat my way to the middle.
I am actively crazy right now.
Lane, I have predicted how John will die now. He's gonna be 50 years old eating a turkey.
Oh, he'll be younger than that.
Can't decide if I choked on a bone or just my piss poor health got me.
Yeah. Yeah. But my point is just that, you know, there's always a palate cleanser. And that's kind of what those comedic elements inside of horror movies, even if they're not necessarily comedy horror movies like the ones we're talking about today, there's always some little element there that just gives the audience a break and some room to breathe. Between all of the scares. And I think that's an important element that, you know, even if you do have people who are like, oh my God, I need to have nonstop horror and terror all the time, even they will say, you know why I love Freddy Krueger is because of the jokes and the times where he's silly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in that whole franchise, not to go off on a really quick tangent, like that changed. Like if you are used to, like, Freddy's Dead or something along those lines, and you go back to the first one, you're like, oh, this guy really isn't funny at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he's laughing and smiling all the time, but, like, there's really no jokes in the first one. Like, the second one, he kind of started to get cutesy, but it was the third one where he just turned into cartoon Freddy.
Welcome to primetime, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you love all my
versions of Freddy.
If you want to hear more about that, also check our archives on Brian and I's episode on the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
And also that little, you know, YouTube channel you do, you know.
Yeah, you
recently did one on Freddy.
Yes.
J-Dubs Video Nasty.
I got to say, and this is kind of off topic here, I just watched your Halloween 4 episode. Really good stuff.
Right?
I got to say.
So good, right?
Really good stuff.
He's
you got to
so
check that out, you know.
J-Dubs Video Nasties.
J-Dubs
Go
Video
forth
Nasties.
And subscribe if you just can't get enough John.
Yeah. The letter J, space, D-U-B, apostrophe S, Video Nasties.
go get it.
Go get it.
Well, thanks, guys.
No problem. So
here for you.
Let's dive in. Do you want to start to dive into our picks?
List time.
List time.
Yeah,
so list. I do want to call out, okay, some of our friends who gave us their picks, okay?
Excellent.
So this is from Facebook and Instagram. You know, I'm trying to get through all of them here.
I'll try to say something nice when you mention them.
Yep. So Marta, our friend Marta from Marta on the Move, she picked Fright Night.
Nice, good one. Good
Fascinating
one.
Intellectual. There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow, you're going there. Okay. So yeah, she picked Fright Night, and she actually gave a little bit of reasons why, and it's a lot has to do with Chris Sarandon. And how hot he is, which, Lane, yeah, fair. He is pretty good.
I'm not saying from, like, personal experience. I just respect.
He was at Steel City Con. He's still a good-looking cat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, hey, there you go. Yeah. John's on her side. There we go.
There you go. Holly underscore PGH. I don't know who that person is, but they picked TerrorVision.
Awesome person for writing in. I don't know them. I'm trying to think of who that is.
Yeah. Which, again, TerrorVision's a classic, too. That almost kind of reminds me a little bit of the Full Moon Pictures movies, TerrorVision. And then one of my old professors from Robert Morris, PM Toner, typed in Return of the Living Dead, classic.
Great professor. Well.
You know, it was on a couple lists that I saw.
Yeah. No, it's a classic too. Again, it follows that same paradigm of just getting the best of horror and comedy all in one. Josh Lemley said Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah. Good pick too. I don't really think of that as a comedy, but I can definitely see where you're coming from.
It has a, I feel like Tales from the Crypt, unless it's one of the really special dark ones, like they are kind of like fun because they're over the top. I think the over the top things make it kind of funny, but like purposely winking over the top, not accidentally.
Yeah.
Yep.
JC Eves, I think, is it Eves?
Yep. Big Dick.
Okay.
Yep.
Zombievers. Speaking of Big Dick.
Oh, Zombievers.
Yeah. Zombievers.
Speaking of wood.
Yeah. Speaking of, a whole bunch of shit.
A whole bunch of shit.
Picked Zombievers. I've heard of it before. I haven't seen it before.
I think it's on Netflix. I think it's like zombies
it's been suggested to me that I watch it before because people know how much I love this stuff. So.
And then Thomas Schlitz put Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Great lover. So I've been told.
What?
Wow.
You're insane.
You're insane. Yeah. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I got to be honest with you, I have not seen it. I've had a lot of people tell me that it's really good. It's funny. It's got what's his face from Serenity.
Nathan Fillion?
Not Nathan Fillion. The other one, the Ginger.
Alan Tudyk.
Yes, him. He's in it. And he's always funny in most stuff he's in.
There's
a lot
horrifying.
Of Tucker and Dale things, aren't there? Like,
I think there's a sequel to it. But yeah, I've heard that Tucker and Dale versus Evil is really good. I got to add that to my list of things I need to watch. And then our buddy Chris Lemke, he gave us a bunch of stuff here. He said Ghostbusters, Scream, Shaun of the Dead, Tucker and Dale versus Evil, Beetlejuice, and then he had tough cuts for Evil Dead, Army of Darkness as well, Cabin in the Woods, and Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
All classics. I don't know if I go Ghostbusters, though. I don't know if I put that in there.
I don't know if it's scary enough.
I think it has scary elements to it, but like because it deals with ghosts. But yeah, I'd say it's full tilt comedy.
Yeah, like my two-year-old got scared of it, though. Like, I mean, there's that.
She's
but I don't
a two-year-old. Yeah,
that's my point. Is she's a two-year-old? Fair. So I understand where he's coming from, but I always felt that Ghostbusters was a pure balls to the wall comedy.
Oh, and just to finish my compliments up here, Chris Lemke, less than a god, but more than a man.
Excellent.
Yeah, and that's all the fan feedback that we got. So thank you all for giving us those lists.
Yeah, that's great. These were great.
All right, so which one of you wants to go first?
I was going
to
say, now, lady and gent, do we have any idea who went first or who went last time? Or we
I don't
just
care.
Went? I don't
really care.
Well, I mean, I was really excited about the episode. If you guys want me to kick things off, I can.
Yeah, that's fine. This is your episode, Lane. You go first.
Cool. Well, I was really excited because I think, like I said, you know, this is a more approachable genre for people. And I don't know what exactly is wrong with me. But when I haven't been watching true crime shit, I've been watching horror movies. I've been catching up on a lot of them. And the list of just a lot of things that I really want to see, I've been making a running list of things that I want to see just in general. So I've been watching things constantly since the COVID. Mm-hmm. I just binged like all of Lucifer in the past like few weeks.
I think I got through like 3 seasons of it and then we kind of stopped.
Yeah, so you watched like the Fox run. You know when Netflix picked it up because you see Tom Ellis's ass a lot and you're like, oh, there's nudity now. You're like, oh, it's Netflix now. Okay, cool. And I mean,
Netflix gives no fucks.
And no complaints, let's be real. But anyway.
That's how I felt with the show Glow.
Yeah.
So that was canceled recently.
That was canceled, damn it.
It sucks. Everything's stupid.
Hey, well, Brian, if you ever want to watch actual glamorous ladies of wrestling, you can find it on the internet. It was a real wrestling program.
I don't want actual glamorous ladies of wrestling. I want GLOW, goddammit.
Damn it. But anyway, so, I mean, I just think the list is like a mile long of things that I want to check out that are more modern. You know, there's a bunch of like newer films that have come out that, you know, I have on my list. There was a movie in 2015 called The Final Girls that I really want to check out. That looks really good. On Netflix right now, they just made a sequel to The Babysitter, so I want to check out both of those.
I liked the first Babysitter.
I haven't seen the second one, though.
Yeah, real quick, Brian, I'm going to lower the mic. Can you hear our dog?
No. Well, now I can.
He's growling in his sleep.
Am I keeping this in?
Oh, yes, please do. Yeah.
Okay. I just
wondered if I lowered the mic, if we could hear his loud-ass snoring.
I just heard his snore when you lowered it.
Sometimes he growls in his sleep, though.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry.
He's a fierce boy. Sometimes he growls in his sleep. He does snore, don't get me wrong, but I think he was growling.
We just lost half our audience because of that growl.
Never. He is snoring like a breeder hog, though. God love him. But yeah. One of the things I think is best about this genre is that there are always new things coming out. Mm-hmm. So just in John's vein, a couple of things that I eliminated from my list that I would have liked to include just on my love. Mm-hmm. And I went very modern. Nothing that I have on my list is older than the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a feeling you guys would hit up the classics. And so I let you guys do it.
Maybe.
One of the things that I'll say, first of all, I saw Ready or Not last year. Time is dumb. I don't even know when that movie fucking came out.
It was 18 or 19.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't remember. Just because, like, I don't remember time. You know, it's...
I haven't seen that one yet.
So it was just funny. Like, it just... You know, it was the ads were on TV, and I just happened to be out with some friends, and I was like, I really want to see that. My friends were like, I do too. And my friend instantly bought us all tickets to the theater, and we just made a date like right then and there, which is so rare when you just, you know, do that. And of course now it's non-existent. ended up seeing it. And that movie had no business being as good as it was. Like,
really?
I mean, the cast is so random. Like, it was like a who's who of TV. Like, the Papa Grayson from Revenge is in it. I don't even know that guy's fucking name, but he
always plays the rich guy, right?
He's always some rich a-hole. And then Donnie from Orphan Black's in it randomly.
Wow.
And then is it Minnie Driver that's the mom?
Can't recall.
It's either Minnie Driver or Juliana Margulies, like one of those ladies with curly hair.
Very easily.
See,
right.
Here's the thing. Like, I saw the poster for it, and I'm just like, this looks like Pride and Prejudice versus Zombies, which I kind of was like, meh.
Oh, because she's in that dress. No,
yeah,
it's totally.
It looks
modern
like something
time.
Blumhouse started, didn't it?
Yes, and that's automatically, you know me. If I see that Blumhouse,
well, and
has
it
got
could have been, but oh my goddamn, that movie's like, so effing funny. And I just remember like thinking at the time, like I was like, this humor is really dark, and I have a feeling that I would love it, especially this year, to see it again.
Yeah.
Just because, like, the blacker the comedy right now, like, that's, I like my coffee and my comedy right now just like pure black. Like, I'm just not in the mood for like sunshine and fluffy. I have friends right now that are like, that's all I can watch. Like, I can't deal with anything else. And for me, just like, I don't know why. I mean, I'm reading
escapism.
I mean, I'm just, but why? Like, why do I not want fluffiness? Like, I'm reading Michelle McNamara's book about the Golden State Killer. Like, you know, there's nothing too dark for me right now. But anyway, Ready or Not had no business being as goddamn good as it was, especially because the main actress who went on to be Ted's daughter, Bill's daughter, which one?
Bill's daughter.
Yeah, Bill's daughter.
Yeah, Bill's daughter.
She was in nothing before she was in this. And
man, I feel like you're quizzing me over here. I don't have anything pulled up. I saw this movie like a year and a half ago.
A couple days ago. You were the one that told me. But anyway, but she was terrific in this. The movie was just amazing. Like, I just, for the $0 that they had, for like the single set they had, like, it just was really good. So that almost made my list. But everything else just edged it a little bit. Wow, the dog is really snoring now. He's really,
I can't hear
rip
anything. So
he's like really letting it rip. God bless him. I'll tell you what, he farted this morning, and I thought we were going to have to sell the house. It was so vile. Anyway,
dog farts there for you.
Yeah. And so then the two that John was saying, you know, with like as far as satire goes, with that I thought were discluded that I didn't put on my list. One was American Psycho. So clearly satire.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to put that in for
funny,
that reason.
Though.
Funny. Oh, funny as shit. That's the thing. Yeah.
The
that
Paul
movie
Allen
makes me
scene.
Laugh.
I just I always laugh during that.
Well, and again,
you look like a dog or something. No, Paul.
And again, I think you have to have a real gallows sense of humor to find it funny.
Yeah.
But too, I mean, John and I quote that movie all the effing time. Like, you want, no, Paul.
You guys
want like
to know something funny?
Yeah.
Here's something funny. So I was an RA in college. Okay, so I was a resident assistant in college, and as an RA, you have to kind of find activities to force your residents to go to.
Right.
It kind of sucks, honestly. And,
sure.
And the residents don't want to be there. So I wanted to be the cool RA. So yeah, during Christmas time, I played Christmas horror movies.
Nice.
And American Psycho was one of them.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Had the TV room and had American Psycho going.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm just like, yeah, this is probably not appropriate, but yeah, fuck it. They're all adults.
It's fun. They're all adults, yeah. Whatever. Appropriate, schmopriate. But yeah, but that almost made my list. But again, it's such strong satire. I was like, eh, yeah. Don't need it.
Yeah.
No.
Anyways, why don't you go on, Elaine?
Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Anyway. Yeah. And then my last one, and it was really close. I almost put it on my list, but I really thought What We Do in the Shadows, it just isn't scary enough. So it didn't make the cut for me.
Yeah, it's Spinal Tap with vampires, I feel.
Right,
it's,
but yeah. A genius movie, you know, Taika Waititi, he is so fucking funny in this.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of the first things he did.
What?
What's that?
Hey, shut up.
I said as long as he stays away
shut
from
up.
Thor.
What? Shut up. I like Ragnarok.
I know. You're the only person on Earth that didn't like
no,
Ragnarok,
I'm not.
John.
No, I'm not.
No,
the
no,
only
he's
person
she's talking to me.
Oh, no, I'm shitting on John. I said he's the only person that didn't like Ragnarok.
Yeah, and I will die on that mountain.
It's fine.
Guess what? Yeah. Guess what? Hemsworth would have quit Thor if it wasn't for Ragnarok. Okay, the man literally said, "If I didn't do Ragnarok, I would not be doing Thor anymore."
Wow,
that movie gave him a second lease on life and the character.
Well, that's amazing. That's really good. I'm really glad. But
there you go, John.
But anyway, but What We Do in the Shadows, I think, was just such a clever idea. I love vampire stuff, but like vampires have been done to death, and it's just so tough, you know, to really get a sense of any kind of original storytelling. I thought this was a cool format for them. I thought it was really neat. So it almost made my list. But anyway, so my actual list. I'm going to try to do it in the order that I love them.
Okay,
I think.
Enough.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So my first one I think will surprise you. My first one is Better Watch Out. I don't know if you've seen it, Brian, but John and I saw it together, so I know he's seen
it.
Sounds
so familiar. No, I haven't seen it.
It was a 2018 Christmas horror film.
Okay.
It's a Christmas film, and it's kind of like I don't know, Home Alone on like
crack?
Steroids. Like
it's hard to say too much about it because like even it's only like 30 minutes in the film, like a twist kind of comes and you don't want to give that away.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to say too much about it, but I think that the twist is brilliant.
Okay.
It really surprised me. And that's pretty hard to do, like not to be like a dick, but you know, I don't know. I studied storytelling for a really long time, so I'm kind of good at it now.
2016. That's when it came out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That was longer ago.
Yeah. Okay. When we saw it 2 years ago, it had been out for a while, and I was I need to see this fucking movie. So, but it was really great. I really like that genre of movie around the holidays. So that's why it made my list.
That's pretty dark. I mean,
it is. But the times that I laughed, again, it's that respite. Like I laughed so hard because your body needs that break from the tension. You know,
okay. I'll have to try that out. I have to watch it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the lists put Krampus as a comedy as well.
No,
that one.
No,
really,
I would say Krampus is more of a comedy than Better Watch Out.
I don't know. Having like a weird family and like everyone having these like whippy zingers, like I don't know if that counts.
When you got Todd Packer in your movie, it's a comedy.
Fucking Packer. It's true. But anyway, that's a little sly reference to The Office for y'all.
Yeah.
But anyway, but that's why it's number five, you know?
Okay.
It's like just warming us up. And
yeah,
like I said,
good.
I love Christmas slashers, so like that's always my favorite. So then we'll do Zombieland. I have lots of love for zombies, obviously, and I thought that the format was good. And I'll tell you what, if there's any way Jesse Eisenberg can make me like him and like a movie he's in, like, that's a win. I just find him so supremely unlikable in most instances.
Well, when you go to play the head of Facebook, when you play
Mark Zuckerberg,
the Zucks. Yeah, when you go to play him, you're supposed to be the most unlikable person in the face.
Oh, like, and
you
he
look at Zuckerberg's
it.
Face, and Zuckerberg's face, you just want to punch it. You
it's
know,
so
you
punchable.
Mean future president Zuckerberg?
No, oh God, no, I don't. Even. No, even. No, not yeah, in hell.
Don't even start with me on that shit. But
hey,
yeah,
if I said in 1999 for future president Donald Trump, you all would have laughed hysterically.
I don't even want to talk about that either. I'm exhausted.
We don't need to talk about that. We're
so fucking tired this week.
Done. So fucking done.
Anyway, but
COVID's
but
not done with him though.
But I thought right. But I thought that the Zombieland format again was just something new. I thought that the titles were really cool.
Yeah.
You know, this is a little bit older of a movie. Is this 2011? I didn't actually look.
It was
like
a
big
while.
Asshole.
It was a while ago.
That came out kind of recently was surprisingly good. I mean, it wasn't as good as the original, but usually you would think, oh no, Zombieland 2, it's going to suck.
Right? It came good. Out. Yeah, it came out. The second
2009.
One came out in 2009. Oh, 2009.
Yeah, 2009.
The year we was married, babe.
So they're like a decade apart.
Yeah, yeah. They really
well,
are.
I think you just said that like Harley Quinn, by the way.
Aw, Puddin. But anyway. But yeah, no, I thought that the graphics in it and you know, the rules for
special effects makeup in that was great. Like,
oh,
those zombies
I mean,
actually look scary.
Like, oh my God. And when you look at it, like if you look at it as now, like to 2009, like I think it holds up. Like, I think it looks good. The storytelling was tight, you know, and there are moments where you're like, oh shit, they're gonna die. And then yeah. In the second one too, oh my God, the entire character of Madison just like murders me. Like,
I haven't
no
seen
intended.
The second one. I got to be honest.
Oh, the second one's really good, Brian. You're in for a treat if you decide to check it out.
Here's the thing. I was kind of like, should I see it? Because most of the time, whenever you wait that long for the next sequel, mm-hmm. It always is like a dud.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, we were skeptical. I mean, like, we went to see it in the theater when, you know, you could go to a big room and see a movie with a bunch of strangers.
That sounds crazy.
Anyway,
it sounds literally insane now.
It does. Yeah.
You do that.
It does because everything we used
to. You know how many germs are in that theater?
Hunker down in a room full of strangers breathing all over.
Everything
you.
That we used to do sounds so gross now. It really does. Our friends got like a big projector and they like, we've watched movies on the side of their house now. And that's just so much preferable like to me right now. I just can't even tell you.
Nice.
But anyway. I thought Zombieland was a good, you know, just a good genre, tightly done, and then a good sequel. And then so next I have Happy Death Day. I had wanted to see it for years.
Ryan, I know you don't like Blummy, but
had
you seen it?
I had wanted to see it for a couple years, like, you know, when it was out
and
everything.
It was actually pretty
funny. Now, Brian, did you see this movie?
No, I didn't, but I didn't see it because of Blummy.
Excellent. So shut your big gob for a minute, and I'm going to tell you why this movie kicks ass.
Fighting words, huh?
No.
This is a friendly podcast.
Seriously, though. So
I will reach across this microphone, Lane.
Oh, try it.
Like the old Popeye thing, your
yes.
Face will come through the mic.
That would be amazing. I would never stop laughing.
Okay, so please, go ahead. Illuminate me, Lane.
Okay, so first of all, it's a time loop movie, so it's got the zaniness of like Groundhog's Day because it's sort of like compared to that. I imagine that was a lot of what the pitch was like. You know, like a horror movie version of Groundhog's with a hot chick. And I think that's probably the pitch.
Knowing Blumhouse, it would have been all for hot chick.
Yeah, well, you know, but Jessica Roth or Rothy, I'm not sure how she says her last name. She is so, even when she is a dick in this, because it's about this, you know, she's basically like, you know, Bill Murray. She's a total piece of shit in the beginning of the movie. She is somehow so winsome in this movie, even when she is the worst. And she's so good in this movie. It actually, you know, not like with any good movie, there's a twist. Not everything is as it seems.
Okay.
And it has like a cool ending that has its own logic to it. You know, like I'm not always one for, you know, just a twist for twist's sake. But I think the twist here made a lot of sense. And I thought that there were some nice romantic elements without it being too much, you know, because she does have a love interest in the movie. And I think it's more organic than I've seen in other instances. By the way, horror comedy romance movies is a genre. So something like Warm Bodies or Life After Beth, like those would also be considered.
Life After Beth, I like. I don't like Warm Bodies.
I don't want to talk about Warm Bodies. I saw that and I almost walked out of the movie that I was there because there was a trailer for it.
Wait, did you? How did that work? I saw it at home.
With the zombie movie where the zombies fall in love?
Yeah, the zombies fall in love.
You didn't watch it with me then, huh?
No. Well, no, I think I ended up watching it with you because I love you. But I
that's
was,
right. I totally want to watch it. You watched it because
I was such a zombie purist. I was like, no.
Sometimes it's so funny. It's so funny, Psychos Nation. Sometimes, like, of course, John and I both studied film and, like, we're colleagues or whatever, but sometimes he'll just watch a movie with me because that's what good boyfriends do.
I mean,
it's like every Pixar movie.
Isn't he your husband?
Well, no, boyfriend. It's like a boyfriend thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily a husband thing. It's like a boyfriend thing.
I walked out on a movie because there was a trailer for Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Oh my God, remember that movie?
And I was like, I shouldn't take this out on you, film. But if this is a trailer that's before you, I can't be associated.
Was that Timothy Olyphant or Josh Duhamel? I can't remember.
That's not Olyphant.
I love it. Anyway. But again, a movie that had no money, probably had no business being as good as it was. Happy Death Day definitely lived up to the hype.
Now, to venture a guess, I have this weird feeling that somebody pitched this movie as a serious movie and someone said, that sounds really goofy. And then somebody in the whoever pitched it felt really pissed off in that moment. But somebody in the back of the room said, what if we leaned into the goofy?
Yeah, like what if we punched
what if we just
script?
Made it funny? You know,
no, I don't know because
probably with Jason Blum
because
the genius. Thank you, Mr. Blum.
Because because the dialogue in some points, like I don't know, just like one well placed like fuck here and there, man. No. Oh, and Jessica Rothy's voice, like she just kills me. Like her face, like her expressions, like she's a very pretty girl or woman. I hate to, you know.
So what you're saying, Lane, is that I should give this one, even
really
though it's got
should,
the stink
Brian.
Of Blumhouse all
and
over it.
And you know
it.
What? I think I your wife would love it. I think Lauren would love this movie because it's just got like teeth. It's got like grit. And it's just funny because, you know, everybody that's a dick in the movie, like, you know, it all comes up full
Are the
circle.
Sequels good or are the sequels shit?
I didn't see the sequel.
There's only
I was,
one, I think.
I heard that the single sequel wasn't
more.
Very good and I'm afraid. So I don't know.
Okay.
I probably will see it. We tried to see it not long ago and it was like $10. You can't rent it. You have to buy it. And I was fuck that.
Well, look at it this way, Brian. We were supposed to watch like Halloween Kills or Halloween Farts or whatever it was called. The next one. And like because it got pushed back because of the COVID, this will get you your Blum fix for the year. It's almost like getting a flu shot. You need a little bit of Blum in your bloodstream so that like
no,
you
don't
get sick
makes
from them.
I don't need Blum in my bloodstream.
But no, seriously. And anybody who likes the horror movie with a comedic edge, like this is the perfect movie for that. It's really, I mean, it's one. It is.
I will because Lane that you are recommending it. I will.
I'll tell you, I laughed my ass off, and
it's
perfect. I really loved it. I really loved it. So then that's most of my picks. Like I said, I think that there's a great breadth of things to watch. I wrote down tons of stuff in my ledger of things that I just, you know, want to see moving forward. And so I have a huge list now. But my number one, I'm sure it's on both of you guys' lists. I'm not, you know, breaking.
Wait, did you do four there?
I did. Yeah, I did four. This is my fifth.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you only did three.
No, you did four.
I mean, I'd be glad to keep talking and talking and talking.
But then how could I talk? Sorry.
But anyway, my top pick is Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to have that on there.
Because it is satire, but it is an homage of satire.
It is.
That is so entrenched in the genre that you have to really be a fan, number one, to see the homage to it. And you love it more if you know the background. And then also, it is genuinely, I think, genuinely scary in some parts. It's a completely amazing cast.
Especially towards the end. Like, towards the end of that movie, when it's just Sean and Liz.
The references are awesome.
The friends, his friends dying, and their zombies are all around them. That's some scary shit. And those zombies
absolutely
look terrifying.
Oh, yeah. You know? The makeup is absolutely top-notch. But what I really like about this movie as well is how well it holds up over time. I mean, you can watch it so many times over and over again. It totally holds up. It's from 2004, which makes me feel like I'm 1,000 years old.
You want to know something funny? I remember reading Fangoria magazine in college that had Shaun of the Dead on the cover. Like, wow. I remember watching it. Reading the magazine about it.
What a throwback. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, Simon Pegg's amazing in this. Nick Frost is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, man, he's
and,
hilarious.
You know, and then I love Lucy Davis. Like, I'm most familiar with her from Sabrina, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, of all things. I know she's done tons more than
that. Well, the UK Office, speaking of Office.
I know,
references.
She was on the UK Office. I mean, she did lots of other things besides this. I'm just saying, you know, Sabrina's what I know her for the most. Mm-hmm. I really, but this movie, I mean, I don't even have to tell you, I don't have to tell you guys why it's a perfect, amazing classic. Yeah. But I think the at the heart of it all, though, is like this movie really has you examine the human condition and how easy it is to just become so complacent in your life if you let yourself. And I think that that's like the scariest part of all, honestly. Yep. I know that that's like weirdly, I'm not trying to get too deep, guys, but I think the fact that Sean doesn't even notice what's going on at first, I think that's the scariest part of this movie.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. That whole scene where he goes to the shop and he's getting ice cream and all hell's broken loose around him.
He has no idea.
Nelson,
you want any pipers?
But it's so great. Well,
Nelson's
because,
like just a zombie in the background. Like,
well, it's just so insane.
I owe you a quid.
Because you can see like all the parallels among everything. Yeah. It's just, oh, it's just so cool. I can't even tell you guys. It's so cool. Great. But yeah, that's and it's one of those movies that you can see something new every single time you watch it. You can totally get something different every watching. I think that that's quintessential to a good movie. And this movie is so goddamn quotable. You can be around John and I for like 4 minutes. You will hear at least one Shaun of the Dead quote. Like we're pathetic.
And at least 1 minute in, you'll want to leave.
Yeah. No but, joke.
But yeah, Lane, I would say that that one is the closest thing to pure comedy.
Oh yeah.
That you mentioned, you know,
but again, like I said, it's still scary. So we're there.
Yeah. I think that honestly it is mostly, if we're going to talk about ratios here, that's honestly more like a 60-40.
It is.
Like 60% comedy, 40% horror.
Cause they
but
really
you worry that people
are
going to die, which, sorry, you know, that's my marker.
Well, they really lean into the Raimi and Romero in this movie, you know, where they're really homaging, like when somebody's, it's a comedy movie, but oh my God, his guts are literally being ripped open.
Plus that one guy who you hate.
David?
David! Fucking David. I loved it when he got killed. I loved it. Loved it.
And
you're supposed to be terrified by it, but no, I loved that part.
I mean, how did you get away? I gave him the slip.
It's just, yeah, I mean, and there's so many different like aspects to it. So so that's my
great list.
Thanks. I just like was so excited about this episode, and when I had pitched it to you guys, I was just like really excited because I really wanted to share my love for this genre with everybody because, like I said, I think it's something that everybody can enjoy, and especially now when everything is just garbage, like, just go have some fun, you know, laugh, be scared, just enjoy yourselves, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. John, you want to go next?
Sure.
Okay.
Number 5, Showgirls, truly terrifying.
Super
Scream
scary.
It is super scary.
So I just thought I would quote the Scream 2.
For your eyes. It's scary for your eyes and your ears. They will bleed.
But, you know, a few things that I left off my list here were, you know, future considerations are Scream, Cabin in the Woods, and one that most people don't think of, An American Werewolf in London.
And yeah, it is
I
a comedy.
I saw that on a few lists.
Yeah, anytime you have John Landis, you know, he's going to have something kind of spooky but funny at the same time.
I mean, that whole scene where you know, David's in the porno theater, and his zombie friend is talking to him as everyone's jerking off around him. That's hilarious. I mean, you gotta kill yourself. We can't be free unless you kill yourself.
And one that I disqualified just because, like, I think it's more fun than it is funny is Creepshow.
Yeah, that was on a lot of lists.
I thought about it, but I think I just had more fun watching it than it was actually haha.
I don't think anyone ever gets scared of Creepshow. I mean, the only section I think people get kind of weirded out on is the last one with the bugs.
Yeah.
Like that one, like that that one is pretty, like, even I'm like, I don't want to be around anyone. Like, I literally, like, grab my skin when I see the bugs that pop up on there.
All right. So for a couple of these, I tried to get a little smarty pants.
Okay.
So
try to get a little film toi, huh?
Yeah. So number five here, I have They Live.
Oh yeah. That was on some lists.
Which obviously is not ha-ha funny, except, you know, when Roddy Piper's improv.
Oh, Roddy Piper.
But, you know, this movie is just, it's cutting and just right in your face satire.
Mm-hmm.
You know. There is subtle satire, and then there's John Carpenter.
That's true. It's true.
It's like, you are nothing but a shell consumerist pig. It's like, oh, okay, John, thank you.
So
you know?
Good.
But yeah, you know, the comedy in this one derives entirely from, you know, that under Reagan's America, we have become, you know, yuppies who only care about the most shallow things in life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing is, we're blind to it. You know, you either die young or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, you know?
That was deep.
Nice. That was pretty deep there.
You know, and it takes somebody who's like Roddy Piper, who's not, and doesn't have anything, in order to see those that do have something, like how, like, you know, far they've gone. You know, immoral yuppiness begets immoral yuppiness. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's not very subtle, but it is one of the best takedowns of Ronald Reagan's America that you could possibly see. And, I mean, even that, I mean, there you can compare it to things today. Like, it's not just specifically that era, you know, where it's not like a bunch of Michael Dukakis jokes. And it's like, oh, no, those didn't age, you know, very well. You know, there are still comments on the world that we live in now, you know. So it's not one of those things that, like, well, I don't really care about, you know, what was going on in the 80s. Like, no, it's still relevant today. So, you know, I would definitely check that out.
Good.
Number four, Elaine, American Psycho.
I'm sorry. I thought it wouldn't pass your tests, my dude.
This is absolutely a horror film as far as I'm concerned, but it is.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Hysterically funny in the blackest of humors.
I worried that it was just too much. You know, I thought it was just much satire. I didn't know.
It is pretty damn funny.
I don't know if you can put Shaun of the Dead in the list, but not include American Psycho. I mean, American Psycho was more of a horror movie than I would say even Shaun of the Dead.
Well, this is why it's a podcast. We get to fight.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie is, you know, hysterically funny. And I remember going into it, I thought it was going to be kind of a very subtle movie about, like, yuppies, like, killing each other off. And then I'm like, oh no, this is like Looney Tunes.
I mean, he's running around covered in blood with sneakers on.
Oh yeah, well, naked. He can't run with that, like, bare feet.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Yeah, no, he's got to wear sneakers, right? He's got to wear sneakers, and he's holding a chainsaw.
I mean, like I said, you have to have a dark sense of humor for a lot of these, but I mean,
that one is the darkest of senses of humor, I think.
No problem. Dark sense of humor, not a problem.
And I read the book too, and the book is, if you like the movie, but you wish you got even more of Patrick Bateman's inner, like, shallow monologues
and
way more graphic details of violence, then pick up the book.
Okay.
Excellent. I need to know more about those business cards.
Oh, I mean, there was, you know how he couldn't get a reservation at, like,
Dorsia.
What, Dorsia.
Dorsia.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine 35 pages of him trying to get reservations. I'm like, God, what is this book? Brett Easton Ellis, you psychopath here.
Psychopath.
That's good.
But number two, I have Night of the Creeps. Oh, nice. Sorry, number three, Night of the Creeps.
That's a good one. There. That's a classic. That's just a classic.
You gotta love you some Tom Atkins.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Tom Atkins. You know, yeah, this to me is just like, I think there was a turn in the 80s where things just became kind of goofy. Like, this is like around the time of, like, Trick or Treat.
Yeah. And Trick or Treat, not Trick or, the heavy metal one.
Yeah.
Right.
And just ones that are just like, you go stoned and you're it has all the horror elements, but you're just there to laugh your ass off.
I think
off.
It's basically like from 1986 to 1989. Like, those couple years, just weird when it came to horror movies.
I think people were just overloaded with slasher movies. Yeah. So it's like, let's just go to Goofy, you know?
Yeah.
as much as we can and just have a little fun with it. Number two here, I have Gremlins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gremlins definitely is one.
I don't think Gremlins is that scary, John.
Is it because it takes place at Christmas? Is it because we watch it at Christmas?
Well, I
don't think it's that
scary. No, but I mean, there's that scene where his mom gets attacked by the gremlins in inside the kitchen. That's pretty scary shit. You know,
it's my favorite scene. I always talk about what a badass she is every year, and she is a badass. Forget that I've done it every year.
But yeah, I mean, the gremlin itself is pretty scary shit.
I mean, obviously, yeah, it's very much a comedy. You know, the gremlins aren't always meant to be. I mean, there's occasionally they're meant to be scary, but they're mostly meant to, you know, they're at the bar like drinking and playing harmonicas and going to the movies and eating popcorn, but like, you know, the feeling is there, the aura of a horror movie.
Now New Batch is not scary at all. New Batch is just cartoons, goofy. Now I love New Batch, but I think it's a different type of movie.
It's weird when there's a satire movie then the sequel becomes a lampoon of the satire.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I think I just went cross-eyed.
You did go cross-eyed.
Yikes.
But yeah, no, I mean, this movie is silly, but like, this is one of the reasons we have a PG-13 rating.
Yep.
You know, I think because of some of the gratuitous violence in the movie and a lot of the scary puppetry imagery and stuff like that, like, I think it's a comedy, romance, family horror movie.
Yeah.
Wrap your mind around that one, you know. It's like Invasion of the Little Men from Mars, but you know, this time it's like they're already here on the planet. And I guess we don't have to really talk too much about it because Lane kind of did it. My number one is Shaun of the Dead as well.
I knew it. I knew it. Such a good effing movie.
Nice.
When you said it, like, is your number one? I'm like, oh shit! It's also not only is it on my list, it's also my number one.
It's a good movie, and I don't know. Like, is it okay to be like a little like feely on the show and be like, I love it because I love you, John.
Perhaps.
I mean, you guys are married. It'd be kind of weird if you weren't, but okay.
I kind of like him.
I mean, I'd hope so. Good list. Good list. You guys aren't going to like do it on the recording, right? I have to cut all that out.
Probably not.
Weird. No, because I make pig noises the whole time. I don't mean to. It just comes out, you know.
It's true. It's a problem.
Okay. That's good. Good picks, John. Good picks.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So I'll round us out here. Okay. So I have some honorable mentions. Okay. One of my honorable mentions is Tremors. Okay, I've talked about this before.
I love
Tremors. It is so good. You know, the Graboid is a perfect monster. Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, what's his face who plays, what the hell is his name? The guy's obsessed with guns. Bert? I think it's Bert. Yeah. I think it's Bert.
Yeah.
But we're going with Bert. Okay. But anyway, yeah, such a great movie. You will never have a bad time watching Tremors. There are moments in it that are generally scary, you know?
Oh, yeah. Again, like another one that's like definitely named on the lists and stuff.
Yeah. And then I also had Return of the Living Dead as an honorable mention. I'm a fan of Linnea Quigley. I loved her in Night of the Demons.
Who isn't?
Hubba, yeah. Hubba. Hubba, hubba. But Return of the Living Dead is, you know, it has its hilarious moments. A lot of the whole dynamic between the guy who's the head of the funeral home and the guy who's also in charge of like the laboratory surplus store that's right next to the funeral home, and the young kid who's like, it's his first day on the job. Like, that whole dynamic is hilarious. And you'll couple that with some really scary ass zombies in it. It's not nearly as, you know, realistic looking as like Zombieland or Shaun of the Dead even, but it's definitely scary.
There's nothing worse than your first or last day on the job. Something bad.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. So, Return of the Living Dead. I do have Army of Darkness on here, and that is an honorable mention. I didn't include it because, as I mentioned before early on the show, it's not scary at all. You know, it's just, funny. It's definitely funny, but it's just, it's more 80-20 in terms of 80% comedy and 20% horror. But I love Army of Darkness. It's one of my favorite movies, period. And I will. I watched the entire. What the hell is it? Bruce? Or not Bruce? Yeah, Ash versus Evil Dead. I watched that entire series, and it's literally like watching Army of Darkness, for three seasons. I loved it, but Army of Darkness is not really a comedy horror movie. It's just a comedy with some horror elements. And then the last one on my honorable mention is a movie. I don't know if you guys ever saw this, Cooties.
Oh, I saw I'm it very on the list. I haven't seen it, though. But,
okay, yeah, so this is the Elijah Wood 2014 film. It's hilarious. Like, it's basically a zombie apocalypse at a school in which the children are the zombies, and they all get infected by contaminated chicken nuggets. And it's really good. I remember Lauren and I were watching it, like, when we were dating, and I cracked up. Because it's got Allison Pill in it, and you know, and Elijah Wood obviously also has, who else is in it? Rainn Wilson, who, if he's in anything, it's kind of ridiculous. It's really crazy. Really a good movie. I definitely would suggest checking it out. But yeah, you've got those three characters in it, and it's funny. The kids are hilarious in it too. They're turned to zombies. So those are my honorable mentions. Now I'll get to my top five here. So number five. Kind of goes without saying, I love the movie Dead Alive, also known as Brain Damage, or Brain Dead, not Brain Damage, that's another movie, but Brain Dead, also known as Dead Alive. This is from Peter Jackson, from 1992, New Zealand film, one of the goriest films you will ever see, period, done. I think
it is Peter Jackson. Yeah.
No, but I think some people have actually called this the goriest film of all time.
Nice.
And it is. If you love over the top gore coupled with Peter Jackson in his prime comedy shtick, then this is for you. It's you know, have you guys ever seen it?
Yes, I have.
I haven't.
Okay, Lane, you might not like it, but I find it hilarious. John, this is definitely all up right. Your humor. So
yes,
but you know, the story basically, it takes place in the 50s, and it basically is about Lionel, a mama's boy to the nth degree, whose mom basically, you know, killed his dad. We find that out later in the movie. And she's got infected by a rat monkey that turns her into a zombie, and she starts killing off all the people in the town. In New Zealand. And, yeah, it's over the top gore, and like there's a scene where Lionel literally kills a bunch of zombies with a lawnmower, and there's blood and gore and goo everywhere. It's great. It's a great movie. It didn't do well, but it's a great film.
Well, the thing is, like, Peter Jackson, when he got Lord of the Rings, I was like, oh, I can't wait for to watch like Frodo cut up Bilbo.
Oh, it ain't happening. He got dignified by then.
Stuff.
Yeah,
he got dignified. So yeah, Dead Alive is definitely my number five. Number four, just like our friend Marta, I have Fright Night. Great film.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
honestly.
Totally.
It's Roddy McDowall is perfect as Peter Vincent. Vampire effects are seriously scary shit. And it's just got the best beats of comedy mixed in with some truly scary vampire effects. And it's really hard to do vampire movies really well, I think, in modern times. But this one definitely hits the mark. You know? Nice.
I should have put Fright Nights in my honorable mentions. Yeah, that is a good choice.
It's just such a... I was watching it again. I tried to introduce Coraline to it, and she's like, I don't like this. she's like, I don't want this vampire movie. I'm like, okay, it's fine. But I try to say, I'm like, oh, it's not real. You know, it's just fake. It's fantasy. Because she's really loving Halloween. And, I you know, there's family-friendly Halloween movies. They're just stupid. Just really stupid. So she likes Addams Family. I'm like, well, maybe we introduce her to Fright Night. And that was a step too far. But, yeah, Fright Night's definitely great. My number three, Lane, we might be fighting now. Okay. I have What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, hey, yeah. I was happy about it. You know, for the like love of it and everything. I just was worried that it wouldn't, you know, follow the rules.
No, it follows. I feel it follows the rules for a couple of reasons. One, it's definitely got more comedic stuff in it than I think the horror stuff, but it's that when it does get to the horror stuff, it's pretty fucking scary. Like that sequence where the familiar brings the guest to dinner and they start chasing him around.
That is pretty scary.
It's pretty scary shit, you know, honestly. Now it's coupled with some really funny stuff, but I just felt that those sorts of moments where it did start to veer into the horror side of it were very impactful. And that's why I included it. I also find Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement's comedy hilarious.
Oh, he is like, funny.
Those two pairing, it's magic. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the mockumentary to some degree, but I love the mockumentary stuff.
Me too.
You know, it just works. And have you watched the series at all, like the TV series?
I haven't. It's on my list, though.
No? Okay.
The TV series is pretty good. It's pretty good. It starts off slow, but then it starts to get really good towards the middle of the first season. The second season is funny, too. And even the main characters from the movie show up in a couple episodes, which is nice.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I'll tell you, Taika Waititi, he's a great guy. You know, he sticks to vampires and Hitler. He should be going places. Just hopefully not a superhero movie. Oh, wait, what's that?
You fucker.
Or what's that, a Star Wars movie? You guys have heard those right?
Shut up.
Taika Waititi presents Star Wars, I don't know, a mockumentary story.
Whatever.
You know what? At this point, I'll take anything, you know, for Star Wars. Why not?
He's
going to
play Han Solo.
Why the fuck not?
He's going to play elderly Han Solo. Like, if he didn't die, you know, an alternate universe thing.
So, number two, I have Shaun of the Dead. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, come on.
Man, that's a hat trick.
It's a hat trick there. But I have it as number two. That's the key thing there. It's number two, not number one. Mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead, I mean, what else is there more to say? We've all talked about it. It's a great comedy horror movie. I think this should be absolutely be on your Halloween rotation list if it isn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a great time to watch. You know, you're never bored watching Shaun of the Dead. Just like you're never bored watching Tremors, too. It's one of those movies that just you can throw it on. You can have it on the background or you can have it on as just something you're watching. And you're gonna have a good time, you know.
Yeah, this was another one too that I will admit, and I'm not proud of it. Like, I being a zombie snob, I ignored it at first because I was like, comedy with my zombies. I don't think so. The closest thing to humor I want is Day of the Dead. Bob is as far as I'll go. But I heard from so many people, like I had to check it out, and then I was just watching it halfway through. I was like, God damn it, they're right. Yeah. This is fucking awesome.
So to round out my list, I have one that none of you guys mentioned, which I'm kind of surprised about. Evil Dead 2.
Good call. Yeah, you know, and like the funny thing is about Sam Raimi, as I said, he's the weirdest director ever because I feel like he just lampoons himself with every movie he makes. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't Army of Darkness 2. Like, or just
okay.
The movie would have been called, like, Sam Raimi is a poopy face fart head who can't make a movie directed by Sam Raimi.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I kind of went back and forth just like our friend Chris Lemke did when he mentioned Evil Dead 2. And it's really a matter of the things where, like, you watch Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness, you know? Evil Dead 1 is a dye-in-the-wool horror movie. It is not a comedic horror film at all. It has the barest elements of comedy inside of it.
And hot take on that?
Evil Dead 1
is almost unwatchable.
Evil Dead 1.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is great, but the first one, it's hard to get through.
I like it, but I think that it has the barest essentials of comedy in it. I really do.
For me, it's like Mega Man versus Mega Man 2.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is like with Evil Dead, you've got some lines that Bruce Campbell says, like, well, she's our friend. We shouldn't do that to our friend. Like, that's a funny thing to say, but it's so deadpan, and it's just... it doesn't flow well. And truthfully, that's fine. Evil Dead 1 is a remake in of itself. It's a remake of Within the Woods, Sam Raimi's first movie he ever tried to make. And then Evil Dead 2 is kind of like the perfection of that concept.
He's like George Lucas. Like, he's never satisfied with what he does.
Well, from what I understand, he redid Evil Dead 2, and this is one of the things. If you watch Evil Dead 1, you watch Evil Dead 2, and you're like, why are we rehashing everything? Where do the friends go? I believe it's because he lost the rights to the first movie.
Oh,
and he couldn't use scenes from the first movie. So he had to kind of rehash it in the beginning with something new. But ultimately, like, Evil Dead 2 is the perfection of the concept of the Deadites and Ash and everything. It's the perfection of it. It is a perfect comedic horror movie in that it's got some truly terrifying scenes in it. What coupled with some of the most hilarious slapstick shit you will ever see. The scene where he's literally smashing himself in the face with plates and cups and everything like that. And then the scene where what's his face, Bobby Joe, gets the eyeball shot in her mouth. Like, hilarious shit. And it's distilled perfectly. But then you kind of push it a little bit too far with Army of Darkness, where, again, it's mostly comedy. So that's why, for me, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, is a perfect comedic horror film. And nice. Gets those two kind of worlds merging together in a symbiotic way.
I love it.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, some hot takes there.
No shockers. There was no point where either you or Lane said that, and I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, I did say Scream in my list, right?
No.
You said you didn't include that.
No, I did.
I didn't include it. Yeah.
It's on my list.
I thought that was an honorable mention. I thought you didn't include it because it was a documentary.
Scream? No, Scary Movie we didn't include.
Oh!
Lane, I did say I did not include Scream. No, it was an honorable mention.
You were right, yeah. John. You said I only said three, and I was like, no, I said
four. Oh, okay.
You didn't include Scream. Just so you guys know. Sorry. Okay. I think the reasons are pretty obvious. What it did for kind of like making movies like more self-aware and like kind of bringing in the era of like 90s cynicism to the horror genre, I think, like, was very important. So sorry. Scream is also on my list.
So you got Scream, and you have Happy Death Day on there. Okay. Two movies.
AKA the list Brian hates.
Okay. All right. So there was some controversy on Brian's.
Sorry. When you said, like, nobody was mad about anything, I was like, that's right. Brian didn't get mad. Wait a minute.
I didn't include Scream.
I knew he only said three.
Yeah, there's the fly in the ointment. So well. You know me so well, John.
Okay. Well, can't all be perfect.
We can't all be winners.
Oh, this is a good list. Good list.
Like I said, it's just a great genre. I think it's like really accessible for people. And like I said, you know, y'all have nothing else better to do. So go watch some stuff and stay inside.
Yeah, and
stay
check inside. These out, be too. Safe. If you're not a typical horror buff and like you think that, you know, Night of the Living Dead or The Exorcist or Hellraiser is going to scare the living tits out of you, check these out because there's some yucks in there. So if you want like to get the holiday feel but you don't want to be terrified, I say follow these movies on our list and you'll definitely get the spooky feel without all the spooky nightmares.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And again, thank you to our friends and fans who contributed their picks to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be sure whenever we do one of these top fives to kind of get your opinions as well. So we'll do
Definitely, we love the feedback, guys.
You know, that stuff's great. It adds to kind of, you know, our discussion of these movies and definitely makes the episodes better. So, Lane, where can they find you at on the Twitter machine?
You can find me at LA_Croft.
John?
You can find me at Good News Girls, Your Dates Are Here, Bad News, They're Dead. at the Unreal Table.
Deep cut.
You can also find me at Brian Cotton. I also run the Psycho Show page. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Psycho Show. You can also find us on the Epicast Network at epicastnetwork.com. If you have a favorite movie or question you want to throw away, or you too want to meet at the Winchester, you can contact us at cinemapsychoshow.com. And you might have some red on you. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, and we will see you next time.
Oh boy, this is an episode on comedy horror. Don't blow the last joke, John. Think of something really good, something they're really going to remember. Darn.
Good one, dude.
That's good.
Good one. Epicast.